The headlines: Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says a major accomplishment of General Soleimani was to reinvigorate the resistance front. On the third day of its extensive maneuvers, the Iranian army successfully tests new domestically made anti-missile and air defense systems. Moscow says it has destroyed Ukraine's drone facilities and launch sites. Kyiv says it's shot down tens of Russian drones. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has described the revival of the resistance front as a major achievement of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was speaking ahead of the anniversary of General Soleimani's assassination by the U.S. Iran's leader said the late general protected, equipped, and prepared the resistance against the Israeli regime and against the influence of the U.S. and other arrogant countries. He cited the defeat of Daesh terrorists as another major achievement of General Soleimani. Ayatollah Khamenei said General Soleimani propped up the resistance in Iraq and Syria using their domestic potential. Analyst Hakime Sarayabiria argues that the Trump administration made a big mistake by assassinating General Soleimani. That is because his mentality remains in place and resistance has turned out to be more powerful and steadfast.
Yes. Of course, you know, this is another example of the short-sightedness of the United States. You know, from all the different political, leanings that there are in the United States, you know, from the Democrats and to the Republicans. You know, this happened during the time of the Trump presidency, but you see this sort of short-sightedness on the part of the Democrats as well. But this was, the thing that they were thinking, I think, was that by the physical removal of this personality from the scene, they would put an end to the resistance, to the ongoing resistance that was, you know, becoming more powerful as they went by. But, experience showed that not only didn't resistance stop, but it became more powerful, it became more steadfast, and of course, over the years, Ayatollah Khamenei has mentioned that when you look at the personality of Sardar Soleimani, Shahid Soleimani, you shouldn't look at him as a person, but as a school of thought. And
the Iranian army has staged large-scale naval exercises in the Sea of Oman and north of the Indian Ocean. The drills are aimed at testing domestically built military equipment and enhancing the country's preparation against potential threats. Yusuf Jalali reports.
The Iranian army's radars have spotted a hostile UAV flying 25,000 feet above its southern waters. Its mission was to strike sensitive Iranian military facilities. The army quickly operated its homegrown Talash missile system. This scenario was part of the last phase of a large-scale military drill held over an area stretching from the Strait of Hormuz all the way to the Sea of Oman and north of the Indian Ocean.
The drills cover a 3 million square kilometer area. They aim to test the preparedness of our young personnel and our military equipment that have recently been added to our fleet. Our military might send the message of peace and friendship to our neighbors, but to our enemies, it's a show of power and deterrence.
The three-day maneuver saw the deployment of several pieces of domestically built equipment, from drones and missile systems to warships, submarines, and tanks. The country has been building up its defense arsenal against the backdrop of the West's arms embargoes on Tehran. The army says today it is capable of protecting the country's land, air, and sea borders using locally developed hardware.
All of the systems used in these maneuvers have been developed domestically. They are designed to hit targets at different altitudes. These exercises show that we, as the Air Defense Force, along with other branches of the army, are fully capable of defending our country using military technologies that have been fully developed domestically.
The Army's Air Defense Force also used its Mersad missile systems to strike hostile air targets. The Army says it's working on more advanced missile systems to further bolster its deterrent power.
The naval drill engages all of the four branches of the Iranian Army, including its air defense force, which has deployed its latest homegrown missile systems. The Army says this is to boost synergy between its different units, to be ready to confront any potential threats to its territorial waters. Yusuf Jalali from the location of the drill.
The Turkish foreign minister has announced a possible meeting with his Russian and Syrian counterparts in January. The meeting would be in line with recent Ankara-Damascus reconciliation efforts. According to a statement released after a phone conversation between the top diplomats of Russia and Turkey, the trilateral meeting may be held in the second half of January. Two officials have discussed the recent meeting among the defense ministers of the three countries in Moscow. That was the first three-way negotiation held in 11 years. According to the Turkish Defense Ministry, the three countries have agreed to continue meetings aimed at restoring peace and stability to the region. Turkey has been a supporter of the Syrian opposition for more than a decade. The Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan had proposed a meeting with his Russian counterpart to speed up diplomacy and to meet with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The Yemeni Health Ministry condemns shelling civilians in border regions as a war crime. Saudi-led forces have attacked civilians on the border areas of Sada'a Governorate, killing a number of people, including African immigrants. Human rights NGO AIN has urged the formation of an international committee to probe the crimes committed by the Saudi-led alliance against the innocent people of Yemen. The NGO criticizes the international community for turning a blind eye on the war crimes in Yemen. Since the beginning of a UN-brokered truce in April, the number of people killed in Saudi attacks has amounted to around 3,300. Different areas of the border districts in Sada'a are subjected to Saudi missile and artillery shelling on a daily basis. The war in Yemen started in 2015 by Saudi Arabia and some of its allies. It has turned into the biggest human catastrophe of the 21st century. Earlier we discussed Saudi Arabia's continued bombing of Yemen with author and journalist Robert Fintina.
Saudi Arabia has a goal in Yemen, and it will do whatever it takes to achieve that goal. And that goal, of course, is establishing a government there that is that the Saudi regime wants. So the fact that this ceasefire has not been a ceasefire is really quite shocking. It shows that the Saudi Arabian government is similar to its ally, the United States, and can't be trusted to maintain its agreements or keep its word on anything. The many war crimes and crimes against humanity that were mentioned by your other speaker, these are the bombing of infrastructure, roads and so on, water reservoirs, bombing of press buildings, bombing of medical facilities, bombing of homes, residences. These are all war crimes. And yet Saudi Arabia is committing them on a regular basis despite the ceasefire. It simply wants to basically have Yemen as almost another area of it, one that will just whose leadership will do whatever it is that Saudi Arabia wants. So that's why it has been assaulting the Yemeni people so brutally for these last 8 years, and why it's escalating it now, because it wants to continue its program of cruelty in order to reach its geopolitical goals.
Saudi Arabia has repeatedly and widely faced accusations of using sports to cover up human rights abuses, a practice called sports washing. Those claims were given a fresh boost with the lucrative move of the Portugal star Cristiano Ronaldo to a Saudi club. Ronaldo has signed for 2.5 seasons as player for Al Nassr. Media reports say the 37-year-old could be earning up to $200 million a year from the deal, making him the highest-paid sportsman in the world. He will also reportedly serve as an ambassador for Saudi Arabia's ambitious project to host the 2030 World Cup. There was also an international outcry when Saudi Arabia Sovereign Wealth Fund took over Premier League team Newcastle. Saudi Arabia has also been using other sports such as Formula One, boxing, and golf to promote its image worldwide. The kingdom faces international criticism for its human rights violations domestically and abroad, including the war in Yemen and the brutal murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in 2018. Afghanistan is reporting an explosion outside of the military airport in the capital, Kabul. A spokesman for the Afghan ministry says the blast caused civilian casualties, but he did not specify the exact number. The cause of the explosion was not immediately clear, and an investigation is underway. The military airport is close to the Taliban's Interior Ministry's building. In the past few months, Afghanistan has witnessed an increasing number of security incidents, including explosions. Just 3 days ago, several people were injured in a blast that rocked the capital of the northern Takhar province. Abdullah Mirzadov gave us more details about the explosion in the Afghan capital.
Well, as you might be aware, a rather strong explosion shook the 15th district of Kabul, which is also known as the airport district, this morning. The sirens of ambulances were heard. They were heading to the site. And it is said that the explosion occurred at the gates of military airport, which is a smaller part of Kabul airport. And the Ministry of Interior Affairs of Afghanistan have approved this explosion. They have also said that there are casualties, but they have not yet given any exact number on the number of the dead or wounded. But they have said that there are casualties, and they have not yet clarified whether the casualties are civilians or maybe military forces. And data on the explosion is still limited. We don't know a lot about it. We do not yet know what caused the explosion. The Taliban have not given data on that too. The site is now closed for further investigations, and no group have claimed the explosion yet.
Moving on, Russia says last night's missile attacks in Ukraine targeted the country's drone production facilities.
On December 31st, 2022, the armed forces of the Russian Federation carried out an airstrike with high-precision, long-range weapons on facilities of the military-industrial complex of Ukraine, which is involved in the production of drones.
Storage facilities and launch sites for drones have also been destroyed. Konashenkov added that the strikes have thwarted Ukraine's plans to attack Russia in the near future. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian Air Force says that it has shot down 45 Russian drones overnight. On Saturday night, Moscow carried out several airstrikes in Kiev and other cities in Ukraine, leaving three people dead and dozens injured. Ukrainian drones have been attacking military bases deep inside Russia. Most recently, three Russian Air Force personnel lost their lives in such raids. Kiev has never publicly claimed responsibility for the attacks inside of Russia. China has accused the U.S. of misleading public opinion. That's after Washington said that a Chinese fighter jet came dangerously close to an American military plane in regional waters last week. The Defense Ministry in Beijing says the American aircraft breached international law by flying near China's Paracel Islands. The ministry says the fighter ignored repeated warnings to leave the area and made dangerous approaches that endangered the safety of the Chinese aircraft. The U.S. military has been conducting sorties and sea maneuvers near the artificial islands that Beijing has been constructing in the South China Sea. China claims almost the entire body of water, but parts of it are contested by littoral states like Vietnam and Malaysia. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva is about to be sworn in as the Brazilian president. Hundreds of thousands of his supporters have traveled to the capital, Brasilia, to watch the inauguration ceremony. Outgoing Bolsonaro has refused to hand over power to Lula. The embattled president's fans earlier took to the streets and threatened to take up arms, which has complicated the situation in the country. Our correspondent in Brasilia, Camila Escalante, explains.
There are hundreds of thousands of people descending here on the area of the palace in Brasilia, and they're all hoping to get a glimpse of this official ceremony that's going to take place. Of course, most of them are going to be watching it on large jumbotrons. You know, there's very high security, as has been reported. It's historic levels of security given everything that's taken place in recent weeks with the discovery of people who were stocking arms and other weapons and what's being called terror plots against this inaugural act. They wanted to ensure that Lula wasn't able to take the presidency. And of course, we've seen protests from Bolsonaro supporters since the October 30th victory of Lula da Silva. People have been shutting down roads, holding road blockades. blockades and other forms of protests, and even sometimes getting into confrontations with police. And so there is going to be a whole lot of security here. I don't imagine that Lula would want to, have such a public motorcade in the way that we saw during the campaign, where he literally went out standing on top of trucks.
Record number of over 45,000 migrants have crossed the channel to the UK from mainland Europe in 2022. Figures surpassed the previous year's record by more than 17,000. Almost 1,300 people made the journey on a single day in August, the highest such figure ever. The crossings have turned into a constant headache for the British government that has repeatedly vowed to tackle the issue. Aside from its casualties, the flow of illegal migrants has also soured Britain's relations with neighboring France, prompting a blame game between the two. People across the world have been celebrating the arrival of 2023 with fireworks and other festivities. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 1st, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. And on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you on the new year 2023. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on the occasion of the new year 2023. And as you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners A Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners A Special, your favorite program, and we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these letters and emails. Before the program, I was just reviewing these letters and emails from around the world, and most of them focus on the New Year greetings and congratulations. Yes, we've received an email from Guatemala from Osman Adrian Ramos. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India has sent us an email. From Germany, we've received an email from Klaus Hober. Richard Cook from the UK has sent us an email. Dario Gabrielli from Italy also has sent us an email. And we've received congratulations messages from Heike Pranen from Finland, Alejandro Filimonchak from Argentina, and P.S. Sekar from India. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners A Special, and let's see what Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala has said. Thank you very much for your good wishes. I send you greetings from Guatemala, where I occasionally listen to you when propagation conditions allow it. Happy New Year 2023 to all the listeners of IRAB English Radio. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email. Actually, we Iranians celebrate the beginning of the new year in spring, on the first day of spring, on the first day of the Iranian month of Farvardin. But we congratulate you on the new year 2023, and we wish you all the best. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Thank you, Osman, from Guatemala. And from India, we've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, I sincerely thank IRIB English Service for giving me an opportunity to discuss on the New Year celebrations in India. Just like Iran, India is also a multicultural country where people from different backgrounds live in peace, love, and harmony. I offer my New Year greetings for my fellow listeners of IRIB and to all the peace-loving people of Iran. May the coming New Year 2023 be joyful, healthy, and prosperous for all. With kind regards from India. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, salam and warm greetings to you in the winter days, in the cold winter days actually, and happy New Year 2023 to you. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio as well as Iranians and our listeners around the world. We wish you peace, love, joy, and good tidings on the new year 2023. And Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you very much. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and we wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. We've received an email from Germany, from Klaus Huber. Let's see what Klaus Huber says. Dear friends of IRIB English Radio, the very best for Christmas and a good new year also to you and all the listeners. As for me, I am Catholic priest, so I have some celebrations for holidays, especially with young people who get dressed as magicians and go from house to house and collect money for children living in poor countries. I have sent you a reception report. It would be great if you confirm it. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I also congratulate you on the Christmas and New Year 2023, Klaus Huber from Germany, and thank you for sharing your experiences during the New Year and Christmas with us and with our great listeners around the world. As for your information, dear listeners, we in Iran celebrate the New Year at the beginning of spring and the Iranian month of Farvardin. We celebrate the beginning of the new year on Farvardin 1st. We call it Nowruz. You may have heard about it. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And please accept our EQSL as confirmation. And here we've received an email from the UK from Richard Cook, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what he says. Good evening and hope all is well there. My new year is actually quiet, but I do hear fireworks and some boat horns around the area in the UK being close to the sea. My reception is very rare these days as there is like only two English broadcasts a day now. Both are hard to catch. I hope I can pick you up again soon. Salam and greetings to you, Richard Cook from the UK, and thank you for sharing your new year experiences with us. So you celebrate Christmas and the New Year quietly, and you sometimes just hear fireworks and some boat horns around the area in the UK being close to the sea, and that's good. And what a pity you had trouble in tuning in to IRIB English Radio. We are so sorry about that, but if the problem is on our behalf, we will fix it soon. Yes, we will refer to our technicians and engineers, and we will fix it soon anyway. We wish you a very happy new year 2023, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification. Welcome back from Italy. As I said, we've received an email from Dario Gabrielli, one of our old and regular listeners. Dario Gabrielli says, dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, it is with great pleasure that I received your New Year's greetings, which I reciprocate from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, I have not been able to listen to your English language programs recently, but I promise that I will soon start listening and send you the listening reports, which I hope you will receive. Thank you, and I send you and all the listeners my greetings and my best wishes for a happy 2023. Salam, ciao! Greetings to you, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. And thank you very much for this email and also your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We wish you listen to IRIB English Radio station very soon. And maybe you were busy during the Christmas and preparing for Christmas. Anyway, we wish you a happy 2023. And we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And as I said, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world focusing on New Year celebrations and greetings, which I will read some of them. For example, Heike Pranen from Finland has said, hello to all the listeners to IRIB English Radio, and Joe, we wish you a joyful New Year 2023. With best regards and have a prosperous new year 2023. Thank you. Heikki Puranen from Finland and Alejandro Filimonchuk from Argentina has sent us a new year message saying, thank you very much for the new year message. We celebrate New Year almost the same as Christmas with our family, and we dine and celebrate it together, of course, with a lot of fireworks. I am in Argentina. Happy New Year. Thank you, Alejandro Filimonchuk from Argentina, and Happy New Year 2023. And the last one from P.S. Sikar from India. Best wishes for a happy and prosperous New Year 2023 to all. Thank you, P.S. Sikar from India. Dear listeners, before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you on the new year 2023, and we wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings in new year 2023. We wish you all the best. God bless you, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maybe it's the time to talk about the importance of what is known as infaq in Islam. Infaq is a general term used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, which actually means charity, or what we call sadaqah. Maybe the beautiful story in the Quran in Surah number 76, known as Suratul Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by talking about human beings that, you know, there was a time when time was there and you were not there. You were nothing. You're not even come to this universe. And so first he says, you know, don't go through this path of arrogance. Yes, you are my prime creation, but there was a time when you were nothing. And then he says, I created you. But I didn't just create you just like that. Then I, you know, provided you the path for you to show, follow. I didn't force you to do that. I gave you the freedom in action. It's your choice. Either you become shakiran, you become grateful and follow, or you become kafura, ungrateful and abandon the guidance that I've given. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems, wanted to give an example of the insan, the human being who reached to the level of al-insan al-kamil, the best, the perfect, so that we can look at them, you know, look at the highest standard which is there as far as the potentials are concerned. And so this is where he singles out this whole story. And you know that, you know, Hassan and Hussein were not feeling well. The Prophet came to visit them. And he asked Ali and Fatima that do the nadhar. Make a commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he, if, you know, when he gives them speedy and full recovery, you will fast for 3 days. And then you know the rest of the story, what happened on the 3 days. They were not poor at those days, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. They were going through very difficult times as far as, you know, their economic status is concerned. And fasting was the easiest part of it because you don't have to do anything. You know, the difficult part was at iftar. And what does Amir al-Mu'minin do? He goes to one of the Jewish merchants. He had this part of his trade was also spinning the wool. And he says, you know, give me some work and I would like to request you to give wheat as advance payment for it. And so he came home and Bibi Fatima would spin one third of the wool and then remove one third of the wheat and grind it and then make it into bread. This was their iftar. So first day, the miskeen comes at the door, the poor, right at the time of iftar. And the Ahlul Bayt, instead of doing their iftar, did their iftar only with salt and water and gave away their bread. Next day, the yatim comes. Third day, the asir comes. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَعَسِيرًا. That they feed the food, ala hubbihi. The main translation or the interpretation is that out of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they didn't say anything to these three individuals on the 3 days, they came at the door of Fatima right at the time of iftar. You know, this is also a mystery. If it happened one day, you can say it's possible. But it happens second day, exactly the time of iftar. Then third day again at the time of iftar. According to the theory of probability, this is very improbable. One time, yes. But again and again and again, 3 days in a row. This is where there is some mystery behind it, and we'll leave it for some other time to talk about it. But when they gave their bread away, they didn't say anything. But because their intention was ala hubbihi, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put their intention in words in verse number 9 of that surah. Innama nut'imukum liwajhi Allah. They didn't say that. But that was their intention. We are feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nuridu minkum jaza'ana wala shukura. We don't want any reward from you. Neither even, you know, thank you. No, you know, words of gratitude. You just, this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from ayat number 10 to 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes the reward that he has reserved from Fatima and her family. And ending with the item where he says that I have given them mulkun azim, you know, great kingdom. And at the end, if you see, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically as if responding to their niyat, where they say, La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We don't want any reward from you. We don't want you to even say thanks to us. In ayat number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, Inna hadha whatever we have reserved for you as a reward, lakum jaza'an, this is the reward that you didn't want from the people, I will reward you. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkura, and your hard work, your endeavor here is being thanked. Allah says, I am mashkur. So the jaza and shukr is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that purity. Let me end with a very interesting point there, which actually initially I think it comes from one of the Sunni scholars in the past, when he says that if you look at the Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scenery of Jannah, of paradise, he gives you the picture. You know, he talks about the gardens and the environment. He talks about silk garments and the couches on which they will sit. The drinks and the rivers would be there. The shade and the fruits would be there. Servants, you know, at their command, serving them. And also, al-hurul ayn. Now, what is the tafsir of hurul ayn for some other time? But, you know, it's the men who always think about it. But according to that scholar, he says, if you read this ayat in Surah Dahar or Surah Al-Insan, he says Allah has talked about everything. He's talked about the garden, the environment, neither sun nor cold, silk garments, talks about silver, you know, utensils, even arm, jewelry given to them. Drinks and rivers and shades of trees and the fruits and the servants serving them. But he says in this entire list, Hurul Ayn is not mentioned. And he says this is unusual. Because he gives examples from all the surahs. He says, look at Surah Rahman, Surah Safat, Surah Baqarah, Surah Nisa. He says, everywhere you will see, all these good things are there, including Hurul Ayn. But in this list, you will not see that. And he says there is a reason for it. This is out of respect for Fatimah al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha. Allah didn't want to bring Hurul Ayn there. You know, when he's talking about the reward given to Ahlul Bayt, especially where Fatima is the central figure. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special regard for Fatima al-Zahra. Rasulullah used to go 6 months after the revelation of Ayat Tathir. Early morning for the Fajr prayer, before going to the masjid, he will stop by the door of Fatima. And he would recite that ayat and say, it is time for prayers. Practically showing to the Muslims that this ayat applies to this family. And in that ayat of Tathir also, the central figure was Fatima al-Zahra. Allah has a special regard for Fatima. Rasulullah has special regard for Fatima and the door of Fatima. But what did the Muslims do?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem Adi Alim Hali Hakim Mati.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Over 400,000 Yemenis have perished since the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition war broke out in 2014, making it the world's worst humanitarian catastrophe, according to the UN. While U.S. President Joe Biden pledged to end the war in Yemen, he is doing the opposite. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The website of Common Dreams wrote, "Since 2014, thousands of Yemenis have suffered and died. President Joe Biden's pledge to end offensive weapons transfers to the Saudi-led coalition soon after taking office was insufficient to end the war. A mostly successful truce earlier this year recently expired, and violence has escalated. The time for more definitive action is now." Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, long a leader in Congress for ending U.S. support for the war, is pushing for another War Powers Resolution vote on Senate Joint Resolution 56. He has 13 co-sponsors, all Democrats at this point, though the 2019 vote did garner significant Republican support and should again. The title of the measure, a joint resolution directing the removal of United States Armed Forces from hostilities in the Republic of Yemen, that have not been authorized by Congress, makes it intent clear. Congress, which the Constitution explicitly gives power over matters of war, has never approved U.S. participation in the war in Yemen. While the emphasis needs to be on ending the suffering of Yemenis, symbolized by the slogan "Yemen can't wait," political crosswinds could play an unpredictable role in any upcoming congressional votes. The U.S. House of Representatives could schedule a vote soon after a successful Senate vote. House Joint Resolution 87, introduced by Oregon's Peter DeFazio, has 118 co-sponsors, including 10 Republicans. Saudi Arabia's terrible human rights record and its highest murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, as well as thumbing its nose at President Biden last summer when he embarrassingly beseeched it for help in lowering oil prices, are surely negative factors. However, the Saudi lobby is very powerful in Washington and beyond, and its influence on Congress should not be underestimated. We will soon see if Democrats are ready to essentially rebuke their president on this issue. Partisan loyalty cannot be allowed to override the suffering of the people of Yemen. Biden has plenty of time to shut this war down, but has failed to do so. Congress must act and is on the solid ground in terms of its constitutional authority. Meanwhile, a Mehr news agency reported two civilians were killed and seven others were injured in the Saudi coalition artillery attacks on Sa'deh province in north of Yemen. The U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition targeted areas in Manba and Shada cities in Sa'deh province with artillery attacks. According to the media report, two civilians were killed and seven others, including an Ethiopian migrant, were injured in the attacks of the Saudi coalition on Sa'deh. Yemeni sources also reported recently that the Saudi army shelled the Araqi area in Manbe district in north of Saade, during which a Yemeni citizen was martyred and 12 other people, including a number of African immigrants living in Yemen, were injured. The Saudi regime launched the devastating war on Yemen in March 2015 in collaboration with its Arab allies and with arms and logistical support from the US and other Western regimes. The objective was to reinstall the Riyadh-friendly regime of former President Abd Rabbu Mansur Hadi and crush Yemen's Ansarullah popular resistance movement, which has been running state affairs in the absence of a functional government in Yemen. While the Saudi-led coalition has failed to meet any of its objectives, the war has killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis and spawned the world's worst humanitarian crisis.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A few strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary. The Prophet asked those who had been wounded in Uhud that day to gather, and they did. He told them to go confront the enemy. The Muslims went, defeated them, and returned. So they returned with favor from Allah. They obtained a large amount of spoils from the battle, and no problem arose for them. They defeated the enemy and returned.
This is a divine tradition. So, if in the face of the enemy's intimidation, you truly have faith that Allah is sufficient for us and He is an excellent trustee, and if you do your duty, this will be the outcome, the victory. This part of the chapter, Al-Imran tells us this tradition. This is what happened after the Battle of Uhud. Perhaps this was about a few hours after the end of the Battle of Uhud. The other case was related to the Battle of Uhud itself. In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims were victorious in the beginning of the battle. First, they attacked and crushed the enemy. But when they neglected this strait because of worldliness, the situation became reversed.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Again, in chapter Al-Imran, the Quran states that, and certainly Allah made good to you His promise, chapter 3, verse 152. God fulfilled His promise to you. He had said, "We promised that we will make you victorious if you struggle on the path of God." He carried out His promise. "When you slew them by His permission," chapter 3, verse 152, "you were able to put pressure on the enemy and to defeat them due to God's grace. You succeeded in the beginning of the battle." So God did what He had promised in this part. God kept His promise to you. But what did you do next? Instead of being thankful for this divine promise and giving thanks for this divine grace, until when you became weak-hearted, when your eyes saw the spoils of war and that some people were collecting the spoils, you became weak-hearted. And you disputed about the affair. You started to argue and disagree with each other. You see, you must look at these Quranic phrases from a specific sociological viewpoint. See how a country, a state, a government can progress. And on the other hand, how it can be stopped and how it can fall.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.